It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Governor Tony Evers issued an executive order on Monday directing state health officials to issue their own COVID-19 guidance.
This came after weeks of confusion surrounding the federal policies for who is eligible to receive the COVID vaccine.
Around the country, states have been responding by taking action on making the COVID vaccine more available. Wisconsin joins that group now, which includes our neighboring states of Illinois and Minnesota.
Yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services released a statewide standing medical order that allows most Wisconsinites around the state to get a COVID vaccine without a prescription.
Dr. Ryan Westergaard is here to explain what this new policy means for Wisconsin ahead of respiratory virus season. He's chief medical officer and state epidemiologist for communicable diseases for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Dr. Westergaard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good morning. It's nice to have the opportunity to speak with you.
So we've got this medical order coming out yesterday. What are the big takeaways people need to know?
The biggest takeaway is that the COVID-19 vaccines are increasingly available in Wisconsin. And with the statewide standing order that our health department released yesterday, it allows the possibility for people to get their injections at a pharmacy. The reason this is important is because with the uncertainty around rules and recommendations, some states have run into trouble where pharmacists don't have the authority to provide vaccinations without a physician order. We see that can be a potential barrier. People have to contact the clinic and get a written prescription from a personal clinician. So this opens the door for vaccines to be given in as many places as possible, which is similar to how we administered COVID vaccines in previous years.
The Federal Food and Drug Administration approved this round of COVID vaccines, but said, hey, This is for people 65 or older or having certain health risk factors. What in that decision led us in the state to say, well, we need to have our own guidelines?
Yeah, quite simply, it's because that decision wasn't supported by medical evidence. The committees, then the academic teams that have reviewed COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness and safety data had come to the conclusion that the benefits of getting vaccinated outweigh the risks, even for people in younger age groups and people who don't have chronic conditions. So we feel strongly, and medical professional societies like the American Academy of Pediatrics agrees, that this is a tool that can lower the risk of getting really sick over respiratory virus season, and so that everybody should have access to making the decision to get that vaccine.
The executive order on Monday from Governor Evers includes this language, quote, ensure vaccine access for Wisconsinites to the fullest extent of the law and available funding. Let's talk about that last word there. What kind of funding is out there to help make sure people have access to COVID vaccines?
Yeah, it's a complicated question, and I wish that there's an answer that was more clear at this point. Many health insurers, if not most health insurers, will be paying for the COVID-19 vaccines. Similar to the point that I mentioned that certain states and pharmacy boards rely on guidance from the federal government in order to authorize pharmacists to give vaccines, certain health insurers, health insurance systems rely on those recommendations to decide what they're going to cover. So since there's been uncertainty at the federal level of what the recommendations are going to look like, a lot of health clinics and some health systems have been slow to agree to pay for the vaccines. Part of the executive order that came from Governor Evers this week was that our Department of Health Services, in addition to the federal or the state agency that regulates insurance companies, put out a strong message that they should be covered by insurance. And our hope is that they will. But the message for your listeners and for residents of Wisconsin is that pharmacists might take a while to get systems put in place, and we're urging patience. If someone goes to their local pharmacy and asks for a vaccine, even though now they're eligible and authorized to receive it, if they're told that they need to get a copay, their choice is to pay the copay or follow up with the insurance company and find out when and if it will be covered. We think COVID-19 vaccines are important and a good choice, but if they're not urgent, and if we have to wait a week or two to clarify whether your insurance company will cover it, we think it's probably worth doing that for a lot of people. So we do urge patience.
I want to hear the case for the importance of these vaccines being available. People might be listening thinking, yes, COVID was bad, but it's, you know, not top of mind anymore. It's not as big a problem as it was. Why, Dr. Westergaard, is it important from a public health perspective to have these vaccines available and not just to limited groups?
Yeah, that's a great question. The public health emergency of the COVID-19 pandemic has settled down and gone away, but the virus has not gone away. It's continuing to circulate around the world alongside other respiratory viruses. In the United States last year, 47,000 people died of COVID. That's much lower than it was in 2021, where it peaked about 10 times higher than that, nearly 500,000. But it is comparable to the number of people that we lose to influenza every year. Around 50,000 deaths in the United States from influenza is considered a bad flu year. So we know that the vaccines can reduce the risk, not to zero, and no vaccine is perfect, but similar to flu vaccines, they can reduce the risk substantially. And so as we get into the respiratory virus season, where more people are indoors, when people are getting colds and influenza, they should be aware that the COVID-19 virus still circulates and it can still make people very sick. So it's now what we call an endemic disease. It's probably going to be with us forever, and we have tools that can protect us. The vaccine, like the influenza vaccine, needs to be given as a booster once a year because the protection wanes over time. And also similar to flu, the virus changes a bit over time. Every year there's some mutations that make the vaccine and the virus not as close of a match. So the news out this week is that we're talking about the updated 2025-2026 version of the COVID-19 vaccine, which the hope is protects a little better than the previous year to the current strains that are circulating.
We're talking about the latest COVID-19 vaccine guidance here in Wisconsin with Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. We got a call from Jody in North Freedom last week before these guidelines came out. Here's a listen to her concerns about vaccine availability.
Pneumonia vaccine, even with a prescription from my doctor, it was very hard to get. I don't know what's happening with the flu vaccine right now, though I'm going to find out soon enough. And COVID, it depends upon who you ask.
Dr. Westergaard, Jody expressing, I think, a common sense of confusion from people seeking viruses. Do you get that feeling from the public that they're not clear on what they can get, where they can get it?
Well, not only do I hear that from the public, but I hear that from my friends and colleagues who also work in the medical profession. So it's unfortunately just the situation right now that there is a lot of uncertainty. But I would say with a growing number of states that are clarifying the guidance and directives for insurance companies to cover this, my hope, and I'm optimistic about this, that in the coming weeks, there'll be clearer messaging that vaccines are available, that they are paid for, and that similar to previous years, most people will be able to get a COVID-19 vaccine paid for and get it at their local pharmacy or their clinic.
This is a confusing time, I think, for people in your position, given what's going on at the federal government. Ashish Jha, who is the former White House COVID coordinator, said in an interview with The Atlantic that the CDC, quote, no longer has any credibility as a public health entity, end quote. And he goes on, states have to do it themselves. Talking about changes under the Trump administration to the CDC and other agencies. This is unusual that states, I think, are issuing these guidelines in the absence or in some cases contradicting federal guidelines. Can you talk about this weird, unusual position that you are in?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I'd say I wouldn't go as strong as Dr. Jha to say there's no credibility at CDC. We work on a very routine basis with a lot of very smart, very dedicated scientists and other public health professionals at the CDC level. But it is true that at the leadership decision that affected the FDA approval, like we talked about before, and the shakeup of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, where the previously vetted experts who generated these recommendations on an annual basis were essentially all fired and replaced with handpicked people who had, you know, varying degrees of experience and expertise in vaccine science. So it is a confusing time, and it's a frustrating time to be a scientist, because in the past, the professional societies that of made up of pediatricians, family medicines, internal medicine physicians, and infectious disease physicians, all were swimming in the same direction, reviewing with the same data, making recommendations that were by and large consistent with each other. And now the CDC at the highest levels is saying things that are slightly different. So we in medicine and public health have an oath to give our patients, and as a public health physician, as the community where I live and work, our best advice based on the science. So I think the growing number of states, health departments that are doing similar things are motivated by the same goal. The science hasn't really changed. Updated reviews of the medical literature done by one example by the Vaccine Integrity Project essentially said that if anything, the data are stronger, that vaccines lower the risk of severe complications, and there were no new safety signals from the vaccine. So we're trying to do what's right, what we believe the evidence is telling us to do. And it's unfortunate, and it's, of course, a frustration that it conflicts with what's happening at the federal government. But our first loyalty is to our community.
Very briefly, Dr. Westergaard, for your fellow practitioners, if they have questions about, hey, what I'm confused about this vaccine situation, where do they go? What's their state resource?
Well, we take a lot of incoming emails from our colleagues here in our immunization program. The other
it's now representing this bigger
tend to be on top of these questions are the pharmacists. Pharmacies tend to know when things are being delivered. They are the ones who are directly dealing with payer with insurance companies. So in my system where I work at UW Health, I tend to ask our pharmacy team and clinic leadership to hear what they're seeing. And we just have to share with our network and be transparent and share what we learn.
Dr. Westergaard, thanks again for joining us.
Happy to be here.
That's Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, sharing the latest guidelines on COVID-19 and other vaccines in the state after Governor Evers issued an executive order to increase vaccine access in the state amid federal uncertainty.